Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, our amazing exclusive with Jamie Oliver and the Koala.
Oh, what a lovely bloke. He couldn't have been nicer and he even let me sing him a song.
Oh, his reaction was brilliant. And then the Koala, just very cool.
Plus, we had our very own rap battle.
It wasn't really rap, was it? Not like crap.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. RAC know that maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up WA.
Jamie Oliver, the one and only, joining us this morning.
Jamie Oliver, I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Well, as we said yesterday, the mention of it in this office, I've never seen people get so excited about a guest coming in my 3 years.
Yeah.
And one person who's super excited is newsreader extraordinaire Jen King.
Hey, Jen, you're a bit pumped.
So excited.
Okay.
Jen, I saw the Instagram post and I didn't believe it.
Oh, really? You don't believe our peeps?
I was texting one of the producers and I was like, are you serious? Really? Seriously?
You thought that momentarily Matt was just going to put on an accent and play Jamie?
This is commercial breakfast radio. We would never lie.
We don't lie. No, hey, Jen, what's the big attraction? 15-minute meals? What is it?
I do like the 15-minute meals. I'm actually, this weekend, attempting to make his Pim's cobbler.
Ooh. Ooh, hello.
Which
Pim's
is just
cobbler.
Coincidental. Like, I was always making it even before he was coming in.
Okay.
It does sound like there's a catch to that, though, because it sounds like you need to sacrifice drinking the Pim's in order to put it in the cobbler.
It might be a bit like one for me, one for the
table. Actually, yeah. I saw in the fridge in the kitchen this morning, there's a Pim's jug in there. You could use that. Ooh. Steal it. I'd steal it if I was you.
So is a cobbler a cake, is it?
Yeah, but this one's, it's a bit tricky. It's not like your standard cake. It's got, I mean, some people might find it easy.
I'm not that person, Jen, don't worry.
It's got like balls of cake in it.
Cake balls?
Cake balls.
I mean,
yeah, so I'm not sure how it will go, but...
Yeah,
I'll
but
bring
you're
the
following
leftovers in on Monday.
Oh yeah, you should have cooked last night and brought it in for Jamie.
You're following Jamie Oliver's recipe, so it can't go wrong,
yeah,
right?
It is,
he's a professional.
It's set out very well, so
right.
Just
okay.
Take your lovely balls of cake and pop them in there, lovely. Are you going to ask him for some tips?
I don't know if I'm a bit nervous to do that.
I was going to say, you're going to be loitering when Jamie's in here.
Probably, you'll just see my head above the screen. A couple of cheeky photos.
Well, the last time that Jen cooked for Jamie Oliver, he said this.
A few little things that I do to make sure it cooks beautiful every time. Beautiful mix. Beautiful and blushing. Beautiful.
If they're cooked beautifully, you'll have a beautiful omelette.
And does that beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
Beautiful cobblers.
Well, I hope it's beautiful.
I would so love for you to lose it when he gets here and be removed by his security. That would just make my morning.
I told my friend that he was coming in and she keeps reminding me to be cool.
not sycophantic superfan.
No. She's just like, just be cool. Just, you know how you can get. Be cool.
Excellent.
Somewhere around about 8:30 this morning, Jamie Oliver. We look forward to seeing you
with
your tongue on the studio door, Jen.
The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
How do we introduce the man himself, Jamie Oliver, to Perth? Let's say the great Jamie Oliver, MBE. Welcome, mate. Good to see
you. How you doing, mate? Morning, everyone.
G'day, buddy.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me. I've got a coffee. It's good.
Sweet.
Do you know, in the UK, if you go to a radio station, they give you coffee, it's like poison. So thank you very much.
So it's not sludge?
No, this is all right. This is good. This is doing the job.
Oh, good. Well, you're welcome back anytime. Now, decades ago, the idea of being famous for cooking was probably pretty unheard of. Is cooking still fun for you or is it like work?
Mate, it's just the only thing I know. I grew up doing it. I started cooking when I was 8. I grew up in a pub. Dad, I didn't realise, was quite unusual. He had a proper brigade in the kitchen. 7 chefs, all the departments, and I thought that was normal. But of course, back then, pubs were for drinking, and pack of crisps and a bit of, you know, that's about it. But I'm very lucky. I love it. I love it. I love traveling. I love meeting people. I don't mind who it is that I'm cooking with, whether it's kind of, you know, posh, falutin people, or I just came back from Delhi, Jaipur. And it was like being 1,000 years back in time.
Yeah.
And it was the most basic, primitive cooking.
Yep.
And it was phenomenal. So yeah, it's an amazing, amazing thing.
And of course, your passion about food is very clear, but Italian food seems to keep coming up. And certainly in my lifetime, growing up in Australia, in Perth in the 70s, you know, it was meat and 3 veg.
Yeah.
And there was
at least
one...
you had 3 veg.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It
was
all
one
the
up
same
on
veg, just done differently.
Not just bud.
You know, and you might have a Chinese restaurant or whatnot, but we've had the influx of our South Asian foods here and very lucky. But Italian, it survives. People love the cuisine. And
I think it's
done.
A comfortable place, mate. And I think you know, we're blessed at home and here in Aussie to have, you know, the world becomes a small place.
Yeah.
And the way both of our countries were formed, which was wave after wave of immigration in a really positive way. And often when those new waves are trying to settle, the best way that they can ever make friends with the locals and make money is through their food. Yeah. So we are blessed. But I do just think that the Italian, they've been very good at kind of finding a comfortable, safe place. And do you know what I mean?
So
they're not going to tell you off for saying it slightly wrong. They're not going to kind of like try and kind of confuse you with technique. It's a lot. I mean, for me personally, and I think it's a very Aussie. I mean, if you think about it, the Naked Chef, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, funny enough, you know, I just come from a bedroom in the hotel, and it's all my golden oldies playing.
I was going to say, and
believe it or not, I don't watch my own TV. That's the thing. So right. I haven't seen that show for 17 years.
Did you go, who's that kid?
I'm like, yeah, who is that? He's like, he's more high pitched and looks completely different. But you know, I think that the recipes still stand up. But when I look back. Aussie was one of the first countries in publishing and broadcast to embrace me very hard. And I think looking back at that young Jamie, everything about me was actually more Aussie than British. Do you know what I mean? So it cut through Britain. But of course, the first country I traveled to, which I still feel very blessed when I get here. I never thought I'd get here. As a kid, or, you know, I never thought I'm never going to get halfway around the world and, you know, be able. But of course, you know, we're here in Perth. I'm going to my restaurant today. We're relaunching the menus. Just feels weird that I've got a team. Yeah. In another country, you know, it's amazing.
It's funny you say that because, you know, you could argue that the late Tony Greig, the cricketer, was a South African, but he was a pom and he used to come here and play cricket, but he played the Australian way, as I said.
Yeah.
He was like that. He was embraced by the Aussies as well. We like someone who's real.
I think it's about having a laugh, right?
Yeah,
and instead of sort of like confusing everyone with craft, you know, if flavour and enjoyment can be through bashing and cracking and tearing and getting amongst it and connecting with the food and not taking yourself too seriously, but actually, you know, whether it's a beer or a wine or a bit of grub, if it's good, it's good, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
I think that's what kind of got me going, and it's kind of weird now. Like we're broadcasting 120 countries, so when I see myself dubbed into Japanese or German, it's like I got a German mate I cooked with. He goes, mate, you got to change your voiceover, dude. Like he sounds like Kermit the Frog. It's like you got to change that one.
Does Lovely Jubbly translate well into German?
Do you know what? I have no idea.
It's probably Lovely Jubbly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Morgan.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Morning, everyone.
We dropped into your restaurant. We dropped into Jamie's Italian for a feed during the week.
When did you go?
It was a Monday night. There was a superstar in
this week?
Yeah, superstar called Dana who looked after us.
She's great.
Nice. So their personal service is just key, isn't it?
So was Dana all right? I'm going to see her in about 15 minutes.
She was brilliant.
She was great. And she did ask, actually, she said that she's regularly asked this by customers, that they would like to know what your favourite dish is. But I know you're going in to change the menu.
Yeah.
So
well, we've got new menus. We have specials every day anyway. And we're sort of, you know, we kind of got a lovely theme throughout March where we quite like to kind of look at different aspects of Italy. So at the moment, we're looking at Sicily. We've got some fantastic dishes on the menu that we're launching today, actually. So we've got a fantastic fish aquapazza. I can try and show you a picture, which is going to be beautiful. Some nice local fish cooked in the pan. Aquapazza means crazy water.
Right.
So, you know, garlic, herbs, beautiful different tomatoes, basil, a whole fish, lid on top, swig of wine. And it's just such a beautiful way to cook fish on the bone. And then we've got Salina chicken, which is sort of aubergines and those slightly Arabic flavours. So saffron, you know, a little bit of ground coriander, herbs, lemon, wine, tomatoes. And it's just the most beautiful, creamy, sort of melt in your mouth, sort of, you know, tender meat. But it's different on the islands because you have got that kind of, you know, they've been invaded over the years. So you've got couscous as opposed to pasta.
Yep.
Look, that's the aquapazza. Look at the colours of that.
For those listening at home, Jamie Oliver is flicking through his beautiful new book showing us the aquapazza.
Oh, and thanks too for the vegetarian and
you
vegan
did that in
options.
Such a sort of
didn't
slightly
I?
Sexual voice.
You used to be the voiceover on Broadway.
Yes.
No, but I went there this week to your restaurant again and there was lots of vegetarian and vegan options, which is great because lots of chefs, when I tell them I'm vegetarian, they sort of look down on me, and it was nice to know that
I think
it's okay to be veg.
It's funny, like my next TV show and book is all veggie, and it's 20 years to get there. And it's also I've written everything for meat eaters. I'm not doing it for veggies or vegans, right? They're going to be in the game anyway. I think we're all You know, I think the next 10 years is about, if you do eat meat, it's about quality over quantity. And really, we're not going forward. We're going back to sort of really how our grandparents were eating, which is not smashing a load of meat every day, three times a day, and wondering why there's all the kind of health problems going on. So, yeah, if you go to, I mean, I reckon 75% of every book I've ever written has been veggie vegan. So I think, you know, of course we're doing the beautiful steaks and the fish and all that gorgeous stuff. But, you know, when you have got, I mean, you've got amazing produce around here. So you don't have to do that. We love cooking over, you know, smoking wood. We love grilling. At James Italian, we have the al mattone, which means under the brick. So we have these hot bricks that sit on the grill. And then when you put, you know, your veggies or your fish or your meat on the grill, you put it on top. So it's been weighted down.
Oh, I saw that on the menu.
So, yeah, so basically it cooks double time, but also double juicy. So, yeah, look, with herbs and olive oil and just a bit of love,
I'm
you can make some good stuff. And with pastas, look, we're making pasta every single day.
Yeah.
And that means for if a veggie comes in or even a vegan, we can totally look after that.
Yeah. Now, Jamie, we've had some famous people here in the studio, but fair dinkum, when I said yesterday that Jamie Oliver was coming in, this office, you can see them all milling out the window there. You're so welcoming and such a personable guy. How do you cope with the fame and all that?
To be honest, I always feel like truly welcomed in Aussie since day one. And it's never been a chore for me. It's always been a complete pleasure. Everyone's just a good laugh. Yesterday we had what you call, I'd never heard it before. They go, mate, you've even got a load of tradies outside. And, I didn't know what tradies meant. It means something slightly different in Britain. But I think when I actually feel proud because 20 years ago in The Naked Chef, really, if you look at all the tear sheets and the magazines and the newspapers, it was in code about getting blokes back in the kitchen. You know, men and women were kind of going to work. They were getting back at 6, 7 at night.
Yeah.
And blokes around Britain were looking at their ladies going, what's for dinner? And they were a bit, you know, not happy about that.
Yeah.
So for me, The Naked Chef was all about having a go. Everyone was welcome. But it really was about getting the boys cooking. So
not when, just waiting for you.
It's lovely having the girls outside there now. But when you do get the tradies outside, that I think that means something. And it means that the world's changing in a nice way. And I'm really proud of that.
Oh, they can still be cooking with their hi-vis on when they finish work.
I think it was funny. If you look at the papers going back, the first couple of years, I got roughed up quite a few times, chased a few times by geezers.
Right.
Because I was getting them to cook at home. Right. But it was just really interesting.
chased by geezers.
No, but it was so funny because it's typical men. You know what we're like, right? Yeah. We're quite simple machines. But the men thought I was competition for the first 2 years. So I would get roughed up and chased because of that.
Like lock, stock, and two smoking barrels.
Yeah, a little bit like that. It was a few touch and go moments. But there was one geezer that chased me down in Covent Garden. And he grabbed me, put me up against the wall and said, if I'd have seen you 3 weeks ago, I'd have kicked the hell out of you. But actually, I've been cooking this dish and actually I think I'll do it better than you now. And basically what happened is when the blokes realised I wasn't a competition but actually an ally, aka if I could get them a little bit more jiggy-jiggy,
get lucky.
Then they like me. And even today we see it on YouTube. What we see on YouTube, we're mainly men on YouTube, which is quite unusual. And men use my content very differently. Typically, they never watch till the end. So they just, and they never tell their missus that it's actually one of my recipes. Right. So girls are really fun. They're fine going, oh, it's a Jamie recipe, but the blokes don't. So what we had to do was change the way we edit our content and put the end at the beginning because the blokes weren't ever listening, weren't ever watching it to the end.
Oh, you're going to put the instruction on.
Perfect. Yeah.
Also, there just hasn't been enough geezers or jiggy giggy or whatever.
Yeah, no, listen.
How did you describe that?
Jiggy jiggy goes with the rumpy pumpy and the lovely jubbly.
Yeah.
Everything Perth. For Brekkie, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, Jamie, you know that annoying friend that monopolises parties by going, hey, I've written a song.
Yeah.
And then they bore everyone.
Okay.
I'm sort of that guy on the show.
Have you written a song?
I wrote a song for you yesterday, which I'm not going to play all of it to you, but I am going to play about 30 seconds of it. Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, I'm well into this.
This is like when you make someone open a present in front of you and you have to pretend you love it if you don't.
Nice look.
Jamie, please help me get my kids to eat their veg. Your cooking, it's beyond compare. Your Essex accent, your mop of hair. You're a sex machine in an apron, thinks my mum. I've seen you cook great Yorkshire pud. Use evil Brussels sprouts for good. Jamie, are you real or just a dream? Jamie. You're a pub grub superhero with an MBE.
Yes, I am.
Hey. Oh, mate, that's amazing.
Bless you, buddy.
You can strum a chord. And see, I told you you had a good voice.
Oh, I'm a triple
I should like, reach out to you for those slow motion sort of pack shots of the, you know, the perfect chocolate cake. You know.
Anytime you, want,
it,
I'm available.
Good. That's good. Thank you for that.
My
feel
pleasure.
Very much loved with that.
Oh, you are.
There's a lot of tune coming out of that little banjo.
It's not bad for a cheap little ute.
He was very nervous about that, so we're glad you took it well. Oh, by the way, Kylie tickets. Congratulations, Sharon from Woodvale. Good on you, Sharon.
Enjoy the gig.
Go and see Kylie. Might win the meet and greet. Now, we've got something very special for you, Jamie Oliver. Just on its way into the studio.
Oh, right. Something else special.
A special Australian friend is coming in for a cuddle.
Oh, my God.
And it is the most magnificent.
Oh, my God.
Looking koala you have ever seen.
God. It is a real koala.
It's a real legit koala, in case you wanted to get close to
it
one.
I was thinking it was a stuffed one.
Well, you could do it lovely with a bit of roast tomato. Look at that.
The koala, Jamie's patting the koala. It's a big koala.
Mate,
look at that.
Unit.
I've never seen
koala.
One before.
You haven't?
Amazing. No,
oh, it's a first.
Did you just offer...
Caversham.
A five-year-old male koala. Did you just say Jamie Oliver can hold it? Do you want to hold a koala?
Well, I'd be frightened, if I'm honest. But,
we know you'd be scared. It's from Caversham Wildlife Park.
As long as he's the five-year-old male doesn't get, you know, a bit competitive. Yes. You know what happened to the geezers in England 20 years ago.
Yes. Covent Garden all over
away.
Beat you to a pulp.
I mean, you might not get another opportunity to hold a koala.
Jamie Oliver is being taught how to hold a koala.
Absolutely.
You've got to take some pictures of this.
This is a little bit out of Jamie Oliver's comfort zone right now. The koala. Oh, he's going for a hug.
Oh, God, he's
it's a bear hug.
Oh, my God.
You become
dude,
the tree.
Right, you've got to get my camera. This has got to go Instagram on this one.
So you have never held one of these, but you've never actually seen one in person before?
No.
Wow.
I've always, it's amazing.
Hello,
I mean, I'm semi-nervous.
You do look scared. Yeah,
no,
slightly.
I'm pulling it together. I'm looking brave in front of a man. But always on
but
my
you,
ear.
You do look like a natural, though. I mean, you just look like you're holding one of your bubs there.
Yeah, well, I've got five kids. Yep. But I'm not prepared to breastfeed right now.
Okay, no worries.
My camera.
Are you going to take a selfie or do you want me to take it for you?
We'll get the vision and the photos
there's 7 million
of this on online very, very soon. This is magnificent.
Okay, so sorry about this, Austria Bridgie.
Yeah, but there are some very big claws going into your chest.
You're going to get a good angle.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm in Australia. I'm in a radio station, right? Mix 94.5. I've got a koala. Look at this. I've got a koala. Oh my! I've got a koala. He's on me.
Oh,
can you?
Yeah, yeah. That's a koala, all right.
It's amazing.
Jabby just making a little quick Instagram post there with his new friend, the koala from Caversham Wildlife Park.
There you
it's
go.
All good.
He's like, I'm going to make
that's
that
amazing.
Post.
Thank you. Because actually, I was only talking about a koala. Yeah, look, he's turning. Hello, mate.
He's turning around for a bit of a. He's sniffing your ear.
He's real cute.
He can talk.
Maybe not.
So, would this one, where would he be living?
He lives at Caversham Wildlife Park.
Right.
The Caversham Wildlife Park. They're
beautiful.
Great folks out there.
That is, like, that's phenomenal. That's made my day because my kids, you know, when you get to a certain age, it's all about impressing the kids.
Yeah.
So, currently with my teenagers, like, they just think I'm a bit of an idiot.
It gets hard, doesn't it?
But but with my 8 and 9 year old, this gets me massive cred.
Yeah. So they're wishing they were here right now.
Yeah. How cool is that? Thanks, man.
That is beautiful.
I'm just going to keep hanging on.
You
keep hanging on. Hey, Jamie, I'm glad you.
I'll try to. You know, just looking for him to glance round and.
Yeah, you just want the ultimate selfie. Here we go. There you go.
Now, there we go.
He's back in.
Oh, it's terrible when koalas won't play for the camera.
If you've just turned on, you're wondering what's going on. Jamie Oliver is here for the first time meeting the biggest koala we've ever seen in our lives from Caversham Wildlife Park.
He's totally posing with you though. Like he's bang up.
Now we're getting comfortable with each other. There's a bit of pheromone transaction.
There is a bit going on.
Yeah. He's quite into my creed.
I think he wants to drag you with us.
He's kicking off a little bit of a smell.
He's to drag you back to Caversham with him.
So is this? I presume it's normal for Aussie kids to have seen.
Oh, yes.
No, it's not that close.
If you go to Caversham or the zoo, there's a few
different
parks.
You wouldn't just walk up to one and pick it up,
no.
Would you?
No, they're quite aggressive.
No.
Are they?
We're sort of raised to not touch the wildlife because they can be quite aggressive.
So is this because you've softened him up?
Yeah, so to speak. We've been breeding koalas for 25 years.
Okay.
And because he's a Jamie Oliver fan.
Yeah, he's been fed as well. Yeah.
So we breed. And he's been fed as well. Thanks for that. Yeah.
No worries.
Little chunk out of Oliver.
Yeah, a bit of a yellow.
I'd have to marinate myself up a little bit.
He particularly likes looking at the naked chef in German. Yeah. <It's> his favourite.
Well, let's have a look. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah, get along to Jamie's Italian. Jamie cooks Italy Feast in March at Jamie's Italian. You can find out more at jamieoliver.com/Italian/Australia. What an Australian visit, Jamie Oliver.
Mate,
great
this
to
has
see
made
you,
my day. Honestly, this is great.
So first we go through with the coffee, now we give you the koala.
I just need a roo now. I need a kangaroo.
Oh, no, we can
take
care of
it. Leave the crocodiles out, though.
No.
Leave it there.
Someone call Skippy, will you?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Good to see you.
So good to meet you, buddy.
Oh, mate, it's a pleasure.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Kimber, you look nervous. Are you okay?
I actually feel nervous. I actually have sort of butterflies in my stomach. Because we went to M&M last night.
We did.
Loved it with about 60,000 other people from Perth. Yeah. Had a great time. And then we thought it would be a super idea for Claire-Z and I to do a rap battle.
Hang on, just getting my voice right.
Oh, you've got water. I don't even have that. I actually feel nervous because I think it's pretty safe to say I can't rap.
No, as long as it comes from your heart,
Matt
yeah.
He's looking
feel
like
it.
Dre over there. More like Easy E. He's looking very hip-hop.
No, what do we say? Little John? What was his name?
Little Wheezy?
Little, I don't know. Little D.
Little John. Robin Hood, wasn't he?
The hype man.
Oh, the hype man. Mr. Porter.
Porter.
Mr. Porter was the hype man last night.
Yeah. I mean, we had a great time, but I can't rap, and we've said that we're going to do this. We haven't practiced really much at all.
So you think I can?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm going to sound like your mum rapping, so if you're keen on that, I've got the flow.
Are you going first, KC?
I don't care if you want.
Yeah, you go first. You go first.
Okay.
You're a performer.
Right. Do I need a rap hat?
Yeah, I'll give you my rap hat.
My West Coast Eagles rap hat.
He's got the. She's putting
her
hat on. Oh,
right.
Nice.
Okay.
That looks funny with the headphones on.
You ready?
Right. You ready, Kimber? Tell me when you want your music to start.
Oh, God. Hang on. I need to take a breath. What am I doing?
Breathe. You can do it.
And just feel it.
Okay. I want to say, too, I really enjoyed the gig, and thanks to our boss for giving us the tickets.
Thanks, Erica.
But this is rap, and I needed to say some things that rhymed.
Okay. It sounds like a disclaimer to me.
It is a disclaimer.
Ready to go? Here we go.
Okay. Got a ticket to M&M for free. I'm lost in a sea of black hoodies. Give me 5 seconds, I need to pee. Forget that queue, it'll take 20. Why do my tickets say ABC, but the doors and the gates say 1, 2, 3? It's starting a little too late for me. A support act, sure, but why have 3? So far back, I can hardly see. M&M is so tiny. I think I may need to leave early, because tomorrow I interview Jamie!
Yay! Hey, hey. Yeah.
I feel you, girl.
Was that Cardi B? Was that Iggy Azalea?
I'm so rap.
Oh, that was great. I love that. Can I go home now?
Yeah, here, wear your rap hat.
Wow.
Wear your rap hat on.
All right.
Okay.
How's that? Do I look like I'm straight out of Compton?
You do.
You look like you're straight out of Dunk. 15 and you're going to indoor cricket training.
Hey, you know, Dad. Straight out of Dunk Craig.
Oh, wow, you look even less rap than I do.
That was great, KC. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's my song. Check it. Finally, after all these years, we hear the cheers. He touched down in our hometown. On a private plane, we know his plight, we hear his fight. Marshall's in Perth, best flow on earth. The people, they come to see the one. Jack Daniels cans before seeing Stan. He's the man, Slim Shady, on the mind. Kimber, she's sitting next to me. I see her glee. The mosh pit is bouncing like McNatt Nui. Think her whole city's come to the show. Some of their kids, the teacher don't know. From the back up there, they look like ants. I see Cameron Bancroft. He's got no sandpaper pants.
Yeah.
Kill you. Toy soldiers, the pit start to flow. That voice, Sky Grayler, she's got a sweet cameo. I've lost track of Kimber, but oh, where is she? Oh no, our girl, she's stage diving for all to see. And now she's in the crowd surfing. This could end messily. Hands on her hair, her long legs, her torso and back. I can't wait for Kimber's next crack.
Oh, wow. Woo!
Pretty bad.
Wow. No. Banjo Patterson, eat your heart out.
Banjo Patterson.
Oh, how about that, Matt? You're not the only one on the show who can write a song.
No.
Well, yes, you can.
That was like super impressive. That
yeah,
was
thanks.
Both of you.
We really tried.
It was so obviously unrehearsed, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, why am I wearing an Eagles hat?
Good job, mate. Good job.
You very too. Good. I'm not picking a winner.
You can't pick
a
winner?
No way. No. Too good.
We can't turn on each other like that.
No, we won't do that.
I like that.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Twist.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Not a lot of clapping in that one. Must have been a big night out last night for all of us.
Oh, sorry, the clapping thing. Yeah. Don't normally do that.
Now, guys, is there anything a firefighter can't do?
Probably not.
They save lives. They fight fires.
They do great calendars.
Great calendars.
They do, yeah.
Great in the calendars. And the rescue team was called in Germany for an animal rescue. They got the firefighter rescue team to come out.
Mm. Whereabouts?
In a German town of Bensheim.
Oh, yeah, Bensheim.
You know there?
Yeah.
You know the spot?
Good than Morgan.
They were called out to this animal rescue last week and said, look, it's really important. Animals stuck. Need to get you here as soon as possible.
Call the fireys.
They rock up. All the team are there to save a sewer rat.
We're rat raggies. Rat raggies.
Because normally they'd be called out to call, for a cat in a tree, right?
Perhaps. You would think more something that's not considered a sewer rat. But this poor rat, it had just, they said she had a lot of winter flab.
Right.
And she was stuck by the hips in the drain. So she was trying to get out of a manhole cover from the road.
Jesus,
and just,
that's a big rat.
One chubby rodent.
Yeah.
And just got stuck.
Wow.
Actually, Weird Al Yankovic had known the song, the story, he would have sung, I'm fat, I'm a great big rat.
Great big rat. And you know, I know we're having a bit of a laugh here, but overweight rats in Germany, it's a real problem.
Is it?
Yeah.
Chubby rodents everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, they said it wasn't a simple operation to free it because it couldn't move forward or back. So it was just completely stuck in this thing. No chance of getting it out.
That's no good.
But, you know, and other people were saying, why bother with rescuing a rat?
Just let it, you know,
because it's just
away.
A rat.
Sure.
But they said even animals that are hated by many deserve respect.
Oh, now that's a sweet fire station bunch
Isn't
of blokes.
It?
That's amazing.
You know what? I've been to Germany a few times and they are switched on people, the Germans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very progressive thinking,
that
don't
is
you
lovely,
think?
Isn't it?
Well, you say progressive, but it took 8 of them to get the rat out.
Okay, that's a bit of a waste of
now,
resources.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, guys, you're firefighters, it's a fat rat, and you need 8 of you to get it out. I mean, it's a two-man job.
Sure, but there's probably not much going on in Bensheim.
Possibly a quiet day.
Time for another calendar.
They've been polishing the poles. And the
about enough.
Yeah, well done, KC.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, look, you always hear me complain about slow drivers.
Yes.
I'm a bit whingy like that. But because I always think if you're too distracted to even see the road signs and you don't know what speed you're supposed to be doing, then how can people text and drive as well?
Well,
you know, if we're asking the basic minimum of just try and get the speed limit right, then they definitely can't do it while they're distracted with other things.
It's all about attention, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we've teamed up with our mates from RAC to spread this message. And if you were doing it in rap speak, you'd say something like, there's so much going on the road. Make sure you look up from your phone.
Hey.
Oh, great.
Something like that.
Something
great.
Like that, yeah.
That's all we needed.
In fact, I think you just won the rap battle.
Mic drop.
I just wanted to be a part of it.
RAC, look up.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
From the rush hour on Mix 94.5 between 3 and 5 p.m., our good friend, Petey Perth, Sleepy Pete this morning. Pete Corelli, good morning.
Good morning, guys. English, sorry. You
okay there, bud? Well, you are a drive time personality. It's a problem for you.
Oh, I like the way you say personality. Thank you so much, Claire.
Sorry, personality.
But, it's unusual being this early, but given the auspicious day for drive today, it's such a celebration of something so Perth, I thought I'd get out of bed for it.
It's a big occasion. You're going to be at 78 Records and talking about the memories, all the experiences there. Do you think that if you'd gone before this point, you might have stopped it from shutting down?
Possibly. You know, if we'd done maybe like a weekly catch-up from 78 Records every week for the last, I don't know, ever since these disruptors like Spotify and that have come into the market.
Yeah.
Then sure, maybe. But, you know, look, we can only celebrate what's ahead of us, and that is the fact that a genuine icon of Perth is disappearing, which is sad. But we are going to do our very best to celebrate what we still have in front of us. And that is 78 Records open for a few days yet, you know. So today's the first day for it. I invite everybody who's listening, get over to it. Bring your memories. Bring your stories. We'll be talking to people as they pass through the store. We'll be talking to the guys at the store. They've got some, of course, you can imagine, some incredible stories from the years gone by, including how they got employed at 78 Records, because I'm sure you guys know it was like the place to get employed at
Absolutely.
One point in time,
was,
in particular.
So. People queuing up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Will, so, will those stories include the guys going, and this one day I got this album? That was really cool.
Sounds like you're about to say, and it was this day at Bandcamp.
Whatever the stories they are, I want to hear them. You know what I would love to see? If what there's anybody listening, though,
yeah,
who maybe saw a band play at 78, maybe went to a band's appearance, maybe got something signed.
Yes.
Bring it this afternoon. Yeah, I'd love to meet you.
Yeah. How about if I go home and go through the tubs of singles at home and I find the single of The Police, Don't Stand So Close to Me, which I bought when I was 15 from 78 and impressed the cool girls from Greenwood High School on the back of the bus on the way home at Hammersley. I reckon I've got that single still.
That's a great memory.
Bring it on. Yeah, for sure.
Zenyatta Mondatta, what an album. But I could only afford the single.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, I think that's still the case these days as well. Yeah. Like, they're pretty expensive on vinyl.
Yeah.
Funny that, isn't it?
Don't take Claire's memories of swooning girls.
No, maybe not. So, Pete, 78, 3 o'clock today?
That's right. Catch you there. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's
Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Think quick, win cash. This is Mix 94.5's Pressure Test. Yeah, you could have a win here on the pressure test, a bit of cash to enjoy less FOMO with Bankwest. Because with Bankwest, you could win two seats to every event all year at Optus Stadium or RAC Arena. To enter, search Bankwest Less Summer. T's and C's at bankwest.com.au. To Maddington. G'day, Jules.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, Jules, everyone who's been calling this week has been really chipper. Welcome to the team.
Chipper.
Yeah.
First time caller.
Oh, well done.
Hey. Welcome aboard.
Can't say that again.
We are going to give you a category and a time limit. You just need to provide those correct answers, Jules, and we'll give you $10 for everyone you get right. But if you get the lot, $250 for keeps.
No, wouldn't that be awesome? Awesome.
Let's do this, Jules. Let's get you this money. We're going to put 15 seconds on the clock for you.
That's been organised.
Oh, I know, yeah, I know.
I'm ready. Jules.
And your time's going to start once I've given you the category, Jules. We need you to list four songs with the word summer in the title. Go.
Summertime. This is really hard. Boys of Summer. Summertime. Summer in the word, is that right? 15 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hang on. Just like that, your 15 seconds gone, Jules.
I know. How hard was that?
Well, you got the Boys of Summer, the Don Henley classic. Well done. And there are plenty of songs called Summertime.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess we're going with two, right?
I believe
that seems
so.
Fair.
$20.
Yes.
$20, Jules.
All right.
Yeah.
Two out of four, not too bad.
Not too shabby at all, Jules.
Good on your Jules with his head. Well
done. Yeah, not an easy one off the top of your head, Jules. Could have thrown in Summer of 69.
Yeah.
Probably a big one.
Yeah. One Summer. Yeah. One Summer, Dale Braithwaite.
Oh, Dale Braithwaite, yes.
Yeah, what's the Thirsty Merc one? Is it just called Summer or
in the
Summertime?
Summertime,
yeah. That is that one.
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't get that one, didn't I?
Yeah,
you did.
I think there's a couple called that, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well done.
Hey, Jules, thanks for playing. Don't be a stranger.
I won't be. The Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, do tell. Let's hear it. Give me the details. Who are these pornographic musicians that I'm talking about that have been banned in other countries? Turns out it's Ed Sheeran and Ariana Grande.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. They might find it quite hard to win the Indonesian fans now because more than a dozen of their songs have been banned in Indonesia. Okay. The West Java Broadcasting Commission has singled out 85 songs that are considered pornographic or have too much adult content.
Okay.
I mean, guess what else is too sexy?
Nikki Webster's Strawberry Kisses?
Well, I don't know. It could come close. I mean, they're pretty strict on this, but Bruno.
Lucky for you, that's what I like. Oh. Really?
This song's too pornographic.
I totally agree with them. Ban that song. Yeah,
you don't like this one, do you?
I hate it. I'm with West Java.
Jeez, he was good live, though.
Apparently, the songs are considered too explicit.
Right.
And so all of these songs that go into this category can only be played between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m.,
Right. Oh, that's my dream shift.
Well, Ed Sheeran is touring there on May 3rd, so I don't know how he's going to get away with
Ed
doing
Sheeran
that.
Ed Sheeran pornographic? Have they not heard the rap world?
Like, that's what I mean. Like, how could Ed Sheeran be considered offensive? Yeah. And you know what the most offensive song it was for them?
What?
This one.
I'm in love with the shape of you. This song's disgusting.
I'm in love with the shape of you. It's too much.
Yeah, it is. It's
too descriptive.
Yeah.
I'm in love with your body, and that's too dirty, so no thanks for Indonesia.
How ridiculous.
Yeah, okay. Isn't that amazing? Anyway.
Each to their own.
Yeah, there is. Now, guys.
Each to their own.
You like that?
Yeah.
It's a cop out.
Yeah, isn't it? A very sad post, actually, online this morning that I've just seen. Kerri-Ann Kennelly has posted her wedding photo on Instagram with the words, "It is with a heavy heart and awful sadness that I let you know my beautiful husband, John, passed away last night."
Oh, okay.
That's tragic, isn't it?
Yeah, she said, "John has been extraordinarily brave and determined to overcome hurdles, and he passed away peacefully with his son, Simon, and I by his side. John, you were the love of my life."
Wow.
Yeah, and John, it was a terrible accident. John Kennelly, he was paralysed from the neck down after a serious fall in 2016.
And it was just a tiny little fall. I think they were at a function centre and he just fell like a foot or so into a garden, and it's incredible damage.
Yeah,
really?
Just,
I didn't know that. Yeah, if it had been that story,
a centimetre the other way, it would have been okay. But yeah, terrible.
A terrible accident, yeah. And it caused such, you know, as you said, difficult hurdles over that time.
Yeah.
Kerri-Ann went on Sunday night, the TV program at the time, and did a story afterwards about the accident, and you can tell she was deeply affected.
A whole chunk of me just doesn't exist anymore. Just a whole big chunk that he used to fill.
Just heartbreaking.
Very sad news this morning, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Kerri-Ann. She's getting lots of support online from everybody in Australia and around the world, really. And, guys, last night, Clezzy and I went to M&M. Because we're so rap.
You really are.
We really are. Yeah. And we were very lucky. We were bought tickets by our boss. Because, you know, everyone thinks that we get free tickets to all this stuff. We don't always.
Not necessarily, but it was, it was a real treat.
It was a very sweet gift.
Well, he's never been to Perth. That's the thing. You know, M&M, Marshall, who finally made it to Perth. So.
And it was pretty, like, you know, I thought that the energy at the start of the gig was a little bit low, but then it picked up, got a little bit better. Skylar Grey was performing there. This is a bit of audio from last night.
Great voice from the American. Yeah, you can hear the crowd singing along, and I was trying to work out what her giant tattoo. She's got giant ink on the top of her chest.
Yeah, I couldn't read it either. I mean,
I think it says Dockers, doesn't it?
Fremantle
Dockers.
I think it says, "Where's the inflatable eagle? I miss it."
Yeah.
But huge gig, you know, nearly 60,000 people there, I think, last night. Absolutely packed. And so many people who know the words to all of his songs.
Absolutely. That we had a pair of super fans in front of us. They weren't just doing the lyrics, every single bit of the rap, but they were doing every motion that Eminem's ever done in a video.
Yes.
So every nuance. It was a beautiful thing. And he spent most of the time on stage, surprisingly, you know, for many, with his hype man. Like his maitre d' up there, his name's Mr. Porter, so he spends a lot of time rapping up there as well.
Yeah, and he was great. He actually pulls a lot of his weight up there too. It was a really big show with the two of them. Yeah. So, but, you know, we had a good time, and also now Clezzy and I have decided that because we've had a little taste of rap, we're going to do a rap battle.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, can I be judge? Can I be Mr. Porter?
Yeah.
You can be the man. Yeah.
You're the hype man.
Yo, Clezzy, go.
Those stupid ideas you have when you're walking out of a venue going, hey, why don't we have a rap battle tomorrow?
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah, great idea at the time.
So stay tuned. 8:20, Clezzy and I are going to rap like your mum, basically.
What, with Jamie Oliver?
Maybe. What rhymes with jubbly?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. That's your daily juice.
Very good.
The Big Breakfast with Clezzy, Matt and Kimber.
Every morning I get up too early. It makes me surly getting up that early. Matt's World.
What? What do you people want from me?
No, come on.
Come on. You've got to have a segment called Matt's World. It means you've got to tell us about stuff that's happening in your world.
This is a chance to plug into your life, man.
Yeah, but I know what you want to hear about. You want to hear about the dog.
I want to know about you.
Everyone wants to know about the dog.
Well, what would you rather talk about?
Well, I don't know, but all I do know is that, you know, a couple of years ago, when I was, you know, riding my bike along West Coast Highway.
Oh, strapping bachelor you were.
Sunning myself. I reckon I was definitely in Perth's top 50 middle-aged, slightly damaged bachelors, right? I had something going on.
You might have happened to have been the next bachelor, but, you know, then things change.
Yeah.
What happened, Matthew?
Well, this is what happened. This is what happened yesterday.
Picking up Florence from her first day of daycare.
Hello.
know.
Well, not sounding so eligible there, but
to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, it was like, are you going for wee wees? Are you going? And now,
God,
picking up Florence from daycare.
You've gone soft, mate.
No kidding, right? It was. So it's only been 3 weeks.
If you've just tuned in, Florence is not a baby. Sorry. Florence is a Dalmatian
Florence
puppy.
Florence is a puppy, yes.
Where'd the name come from? It wasn't from Florence and the Machine, right?
No. Steppy D, my stepdaughter. Look, it was a huge negotiation, the name. I wanted Shakira.
Yeah, I'm glad you lost, to be honest.
Oh, we went to a vote of the United Nations.
Don't you think it'd be funny to be in the park going, Shakira?
No, anyway.
Yeah, I do. I think it's hilarious.
But now that we've got Florence,
yep.
She is Florence.
Yeah.
She looks like Florence.
It's like when you name a child, same thing.
Yeah.
So how did daycare go? Was she good?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Because she had to audition for this daycare, so it's pretty fancy.
She auditioned and she did really well in the audition.
Did she really?
But like many of us who have auditioned well and then ruined the part, you know, the worry was that she'd get there and misbehave.
Right, yeah. So the puppy remembered her lines. Good. Yeah,
exactly. But she had a wonderful time, and obviously, you know, let's not forget, today is 3 weeks ago since I got her.
Yeah, yep. True.
We got her.
Yeah.
So, and yesterday was the first time, because now she's allowed to be around other dogs because she's, you know, had all of her shots and whatnot. That was the first time she's seen other animals and, you know, and met other people and that kind of thing. So it must have been a massive, like, input.
Yeah.
And she got home and she was absolutely just dead to the world.
Oh, bet she was. All that energy, pent up energy.
She just, yeah. But
it's great when you exercise them like that, but then you feel like you have to keep checking for a heartbeat later that night because they don't move for hours.
She was out for the count.
Yeah.
You know, but I did, and, you know, you would relate to this, Claire. Like, I really enjoyed yesterday having a little bit of time to myself.
Sure.
Because she's, you know, she's full on.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a puppy.
But that was tempered with missing her terribly.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think this grab might indicate.
So she was all right?
Yeah, she's a good man.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, her birthday is better than some grumpy grown dog.
And she socialised well. And
listen to that. Good parenting, man.
Good one.
Oh, you are the best in the West. You're the best in the West.
Oh. I don't believe you said that bit, but
I know.
That's like picking up your kid from kindy.
It was
first half day.
I was so proud of her.
Wow!
No doubt everything will fall to pieces now.
Oh, I can't wait to see the shame you feel on the day that she does something wrong. Like, yeah. You're really taking this on board.
But that's it. I'm going to give the dog a rest for a while now. I'm going to come up with some cool material for the next week.
Can I tell you the dog's not giving you a rest at any stage?
No. Life is over.
Matt's World.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, apparently being a celebrity doesn't mean that you spend, you know, all your days sitting in spa baths, you know, bathing in gold and champagne and whatnot.
Yeah, sometimes you're being driven around by chauffeurs.
You are, or Kanye's, you know, putting rose petals out for you.
Oh.
You know, that kind of thing. That's what we assume the celebrity life to be.
Pretty much, yeah.
A very glamorous life.
Yeah. But I was shocked by this story because it shows to me that actually celebrities do occasionally do, well, dare I say, normal things.
They do not.
No, this really happened.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, right? Mm-hmm.
Superstar.
Yeah, superstar.
Household name.
Household name, right? He's been spotted not once, but twice in Kmart.
Oh, really? Because he spends a bit of time in Australia.
This is Ballina Kmart, right, up near Byron Bay, great part of the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he's got a love shack here.
Yeah, and I'm sure that he's, you know, he's not in some Airbnb up there.
Probably
I'm sure
not.
He's got a really decent crib.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, he likes to spend his time, as I do. I'm feeling a real connection with Matt Damon about this.
Okay. Yeah.
Walking around Kmart going, you know what, that's not a bad cushion. $13, ship it in. Well, where do I pay for it? God knows.
Yes. In the middle of the
store.
Well, you have a connection with him because you pretty much bought a zoo too, didn't you?
I did, yes, I did too.
So, I mean, it's pretty shocking to hear, because when you ask people if they've ever met a celebrity, they'll often come up with and then they said this, and then I said this. But you don't hear many stories of celebs doing mundane tasks.
No, you don't.
Really mundane.
Have you ever?
I was living in Toronto, and in walks none other than Justin Timberlake.
Ooh.
JT.
JT with his entourage. Everybody, they sit down in the vodka lounge, so they're in their own special little roped off section.
Yeah.
And wait for it. Yeah. I see Justin Timberlake sending a text.
Wow.
Boom.
Doesn't he have someone to do that for him?
Nah, he's sending actually, a text.
He's human.
From a nightclub in Toronto.
I wonder if he was like... texting Matt Damon to say, hey, if you're in Kmart, can you
get me some cheap sneakers?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wow.
Hey, yeah. How about the good oldie? I don't know if you've heard this story, Matt, since you've been here.
No.
Walking through the streets of Sydney when I went over to see the old man once.
Yes.
This is about 15, 20 years ago. And I hear a bit of noise at an ATM, and there is the body, Elle McPherson, at the ATM. He's taking some cash out.
Getting some cash out. Yeah. Well, she's got to pay Matt Damon back because he's picked her up something at Kmart.
Oh, let us waste no time. 133353. When have you seen a celebrity doing something mundane?
Yeah, oh, love to hear from you.
Great caller of the day prize. Kiss, they're going to be in town. You might see Gene Simmons at Kmart as well. They're bringing their spectacular farewell tour to the RAC Arena on November 16. We've got a double pass. Tickets are selling fast from Ticketek, proudly presented by Mix 94.5.
You know Gene would be checking out the Kiss merchandise on the shelves, don't you?
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Matt Damon, very famous, and loves to shop at Kmart in Ballina in northern New South Wales. Seen twice. Let's hope he wasn't returning something that he bought.
No, we love the idea of celebrities doing mundane things.
Yeah. I saw one at M&M last night, Cameron Bancroft, the cricket star.
Ah.
I've been in the news a lot the last 12 months. Guess what he was doing?
Getting a drink.
Finding his seat.
Michelle's given us a call from Darlington. Michelle, have you seen a celebrity doing something mundane?
Yeah, I have. It was Goldie Hawn, actually. She was, I was living in Greece at the time on an island, which isn't very mundane, but
no.
she was getting on a like the community beach bus, you know, where you jump on with everyone at the end of the day and drive back up the hill to where we're staying. And yeah, just like looking at her going, she looks really familiar, and then realised who it was.
So that was her big moment. Goldie Hawn takes a bus.
Yeah.
And she was probably trying to scam a concession ticket too.
No doubt. Absolutely.
That's a beauty, Michelle. Thank you. Let's go to Guelup. Riley, who's 12 years old. Riley, did you see a celebrity doing something really boring?
Yes, I have. When I went down to my local supermarket, I saw Jack Darling buying black and gold toilet paper.
Oh. brilliant.
Riley, that is
a very funny.
The poor bugger can't even get some loo paper.
And Jack's had this big story to share the whole time, and he's like, why won't someone just give me an opportunity to share this great story? And now you've had your moment, Riley.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well done.
Good on you, buddy.
Have a great day. Premiership winning star. There you go.
No, it's good. He's counting his coins.
Good man.
Yeah, well done.
Well, you don't play forever.
Anthony's in Southlake. Anthony, have you seen a celebrity doing something mundane?
Yeah, hi, guys. Yeah, sure did. When I was doing my acting course and that, we got tickets to see Ned Kelly when it was at Subiaco. So Heath Ledger was coming and he went to the cinemas to address everyone, but on his way in, he was finishing eating some Red Rooster chips. he addressed us all and said, that's the one thing you miss as being in Hollywood is the chicken and chips from Red Rooster.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
I heard him
Anthony.
Say that in an interview once. Yeah, yeah. He really did miss things like that from Perth.
Love it.
Yeah, oh, good.
Thanks, beautiful. Anthony.
Oh, that's nice to think. The late Heath Ledger enjoying some fish and chips. Some chicken
Red
and chips.
Red Rooster, yeah. Let's go to Aluka. Clint, what have you seen? Who have you seen? Which celebrity doing something mundane?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, look, I was stationed up in the Kimberleys a few years ago and we went to El Questro and we hiked out to Emma Gorge. And if you hiked out to the gorge, you're allowed to have a swim in the pool because we couldn't obviously afford to stay at El Questro. And I was sitting in the pool and lazing back with my head. My wife's name's Kylie, and I could hear someone coming down the railing into the pool. And I said, oh, Kyle, grab us another beer, would you?
Yeah.
And as soon as I heard this voice, it said, well, what beer would you like? I was going, that's not my wife. And I opened my eyes, Kylie Minogue.
Oh, Clint.
Just having a dip.
Wow.
Oh, I was so embarrassed. I said, oh, look, I'm so sorry, Miss Minogue. And she went, oh, Jesus, don't call me that. And I was like, oh, and my wife's over her shoulder staring at me like, you're a bloody idiot.
Love it.
I love that. And also the mundane story is that Kylie actually asked what beer you would like.
Yes, she was going to serve you.
Not mundane at all. Amazing.
Was indeed.
Stick around, Clint. Step back in time. Might win you some tickets to see Kylie and you might get a meet and greet in the pool.
Well, Clint's already done the meet and greet.
How good's that?
She was going to give him a beer.
never did get that beer.
Oh, never mind.
It's because you called her Miss Minogue.
Yeah, that was it. You put her off. Hey, thanks, Clint. Have a great day.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. We've got 50 grand and you can win it.
Tomorrow.
Mix 94.5's 50K giveaway with Crown and My Kitchen Rules.
It might be going to Jodie of Kenwick. Hey, Jodes.
Hey, how you going?
Very well, Jodie. Thanks for getting through. You've won yourself the $100 Crown gift card.
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, let's make it even better, Jodie. Let's get you in the running for tomorrow's 50K giveaway. You're just going to need to answer a simple true or false question from last night's episode of Channel 7's My Kitchen Rules. You ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, here's the question, Jodie. Last night, Group 1 competed against Group 2. Is this true or false?
True.
The two tribes go to war.
Group 1 and Group 2, face to face at last.
In a group versus group shootout.
You have cooked up the right answer.
Yeah.
Hey. Pete's pretty happy with that. Jodie, you must be too. Well done.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you.
Yes, congratulations. You're now one step closer to winning $50,000 tomorrow and the ultimate luxury crown experience at Crown Perth. Jodie, would you like that?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Hey, Jodie, after you answer them, are you having a little bit of answer regret there for a few seconds, or were you okay with that?
No, I thought I stuffed it up.
Oh, I heard a bit of that. Yeah.
Well, Jodie, stay tuned and keep your phone close tomorrow because we could be calling you for $50,000.
Wow. Oh, please do. Thank you.
And whatever happens, you've got that $100 Crown gift card anyway.
Okay, thank you.
RAC knows Maps, Music or Messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.